Hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest episode of What's New in Cloud FinOps with myself, Stephen Old, and
Franck Contrepoix,
my friend and former colleague. And we also have our first ever returning guest. Let's break the suspense of our listeners. Introduce yourself.
Good morning. Rob Martin from the FinOps Foundation. I'm very excited to be here as the first returning guest.
Pretty sure half of the people listening to this podcast said Rob, even when you started saying the name, Rob.
So I'm just Rob. I'm, to do my official intro, I'm a FinOps principal with the FinOps Foundation. A FinOps principal is very much like a middle school vice principal. We try to wrangle a lot of people into doing things that they might not necessarily want to do, but that are good for them anyway. And it's just less vaping, I think, as a FinOps principal.
Herding cats.
We'll see at FinOps X. Yeah, we'll see what the vaping levels are like. So the reason for bringing you on today is because you are the person that we both go to if we're ever talking about FinOps framework stuff. And there have been huge updates to the FinOps framework, which we've been involved with to some extent, but nowhere near to the extent that you have. And, hopefully a lot of people have already seen the summit last month now.
Yeah.
If they haven't, or if they want to see it, in a bit more detail or speak in a bit more detail about it, that's what we wanted to talk about today. So, I mean, let's just start with some of the basics. How long did it take from when you decided you're going to change the framework to actually March the 21st?
Good question. It probably goes back years because just to give a quick overview of the framework. The framework is really a collection of practices and processes and functions that different FinOps teams around the world do. So it was started in the initial Cloud FinOps book, and it was sort of put together on the FinOps Foundation website. It's been incorporated in the FinOps training and the certifications that have been done, both all the certification and training classes. So it's been around and it's been pretty stable, I would say, from 2019, 2020, when it was first put online until recently. And so, but we're constantly taking feedback from the community about things that they are seeing, things that new FinOps teams are doing, the ways that people are practicing FinOps, the advanced, more advanced features and activities that people do. And so that feedback comes to us, to the foundation, through speaking. We listen to and incorporate all the speeches that people give at our events at FinOps X and at summits and roadshows. We get feedback from the community constantly via those little make a comment buttons on every page of the FinOps framework on the website. So if you've got comments, whether they are typos or I fundamentally disagree with this at a strategic level, we get some of those sometimes. Those are always welcome, and they're incorporated by staff and the TAC. And then we do get a lot of feedback from the TAC, the Technical Advisory Council, who really manages and oversees what is officially the framework for the foundation, and to a lesser extent other leaders who are involved. So we take that input constantly. There has not been an established process, I think, as many FinOps organizations and companies around the world and organizations around the world are becoming more operational and becoming more ingrained, more a part of the real business, making real business decisions and really driving the value that organization is bringing to its customers or stakeholders. We're also seeing that within the foundation, right? Where we're getting more sophisticated and more structured in the way that we're maintaining things. And so this was the first of what we hope will be an annual process of updating the framework, of having the TAC review the content and the input that has come in from the community, and then incorporating the concepts and the ideas that make sense and to see to show the way that different FinOps practices around the world are evolving and the ways that that companies are using that internally. So it's really not us saying, we're going to do this. It's really about us making sure that the framework reflects the actual practice of FinOps in the world, and we need to evolve the framework as that practice evolves as well. So it was a long process. We started working in earnest with the TAC on this back in the fall. We started with the foundation, with the update to the definition of FinOps. I think that was approved in November. So we were probably working on that for a couple of months beforehand. And then we had worked on the changes to the framework. The big changes were to the domains and capabilities in the framework this time. And so we went from a model that had 6 domains and 18 capabilities underneath of it, some of which overlapped, to a new model with 4 domains that I think were really clear, that are really much more simple, and 22 capabilities that sit beneath them in a kind of hierarchy. And that was the writing of that probably went from late September or so all the way through to March 21st.
Wow. Oh, it's not even too long.
I mean, it was a lot of work, wasn't it? I was involved in a few of the capability definitions, which is like the smallest part of it. And I saw how many reviews and things those took. And you're right. It kind of all stemmed from the change of the definition, which I think we've spoken about briefly on the podcast. But for those who maybe haven't seen that or haven't really had time to think about that, I think for me the thing that stands out, obviously, it's about the value piece again. That's been more spoken about, and that's been something that has been spoken about really heavily in the foundation throughout, and I think as a tweak that they've been wanting to make for quite some time. But the other one is the framework, that it's, you know, listed as a framework rather than previously I think it was a cultural practice and
I think that's the biggest change.
IT discipline,
yeah, something like that, wasn't it? Yeah. I think the framework helps focus the mind a little bit, shows people when they look at it at the definition of FinOps, oh, I need to go look at the framework. And you know, the amount of work and knowledge in the framework I think is fantastic. Trying to put myself in your shoes, I would have had something that I was like top of my list to change, that I was excited about changing, that had been grating me for ages. What was the main thing you were really happy to see change?
there are so many things. The extent of the changes was, as you said, very broad this time. And we, in going into this, there were recommendations for things to change in so many different areas that we kind of took the opportunity with the TAC to simplify a lot of the language. So, looking at the 22 capabilities that are there now, only 2 of them have the same names as the previous set of capabilities. Okay. Only one of the domains has the same name, and it's slightly different than it was before. So we kind of had the opportunity to do this large scale change, and it seems much bigger than it actually was. But a lot of the changes were, in fact, renames. There were things like, you know, there was data ingestion and normalization before, sort of just changed to data ingestion and things like that. So there were a lot of the capabilities that kind of just changed names to make them a little bit simpler, and that was done primarily to make sure that we're meeting the community where they are, right? We're seeing a lot more people coming to the practice of FinOps, coming to the community and saying, like, I've never done FinOps before. I'm not a person who's been doing this for years and just didn't know what it was called, as we used to hear a lot in the past. But we're actually seeing them say, oh, I've been told I'm doing FinOps now and I need to learn specifically what it was. So making these terms simpler, that was really a big item for me, right? Because it was very, as I would often do in the FinOps professional training and other events, I would go to the website and sort of scroll down through the list of capabilities and say, you know, where am I looking for I'm looking for one capability. And then there were 3 or 4 capabilities that were called managing this or managing that or managing some other thing. And it made it a little bit difficult to see. So for me, the biggest element of this was just the simplifying language. And I would say kind of going along with that, simplifying the domains. Before we had 6 domains, understanding your cloud usage and cost, performance tracking and benchmarking, real-time decision-making, and then 2 optimizations, cloud rate optimization, cloud usage optimization, and organizational alignment. And that was a good breakout, I think, at the beginning, but we were seeing much more that, you know, that understanding was really important. Our first domain still is understanding cloud usage and cost. the real-time decision-making and performance tracking and benchmarking and some of the other pieces and the other domains we saw that were really focusing on that value. So you said, you mentioned the value piece of that. The new domain is quantified business value. And that pulls together, like, how do we think about our cloud usage and our cloud cost and our cloud impact in terms of what it's delivering to the company? Really doing the real-time decision-making, doing the tracking and the benchmarking was really all about that. It was designed to help us to understand what it was that was valuable and where we needed to make decisions to increase that value. We also then combined the cloud rate and usage optimization into optimized cloud usage and cost. So that's a third kind of big business outcome that we want people to be able to do. And then organizational alignment got some pretty decent expansion as well into becoming managing the FinOps practice. So if you look at those four together, understand your cloud usage and cost, quantify the business value, optimize your cloud usage and cost, and manage your FinOps practice, that really brings together kind of the four big things you want in a FinOps team. So that and having that just much more simplified that way made it much easier to explain, made it much easier to understand, I hope, for folks who are coming to the framework for the first time.
So yeah, but when we interviewed you the first time, I think it was about education and FinOps, okay? And you just say something which is incredibly positive, which is that now people are coming, they've been tasked to do FinOps, mm-hmm. and not they've been doing FinOps without knowing the name. And mm-hmm. so if someone is tasked doing FinOps, and as you said, this framework is going to help them, what are the first X steps? You pick the X, who cares about 3, 5, 10, 20, but what are the first things they need to do, in your opinion, after being tasked and coming to finops.org?
So I think that the new framework subsite, if you go to the finops.org website, right at the top are all of our menu things. If you just click on that framework menu item, you'll come to an overview. And that is, we spent a lot of time with the TAC trying to drive some of those overview pages much more, to make them much more clear, to make them much more understandable, and to make them much more helpful to somebody who's coming to this for the first time. So in addition to actually writing the content of, you know, what does architecting for cloud mean as a capability, and what are the crawl, walk, and run ways that you might look at performing that, and who are the personas involved, we also spent a good bit of time writing very succinct captions, if you will, for each of the capabilities and each of the domains, so that it was easy to gather just quickly glancing at it. We also have a lot more kind of bulleted list of things, of activities that are involved in each of those capabilities. So that that front page, if you just click on that framework link, really brings you to a subsite that has a lot of information about the framework all together. And reading that together, being able to see sort of the very short, you know, one sentence description of each of the capabilities in the same place, I think is a really powerful way to start to understand what are the different parts of my FinOps, you know, operational framework that I need to enact. Obviously, I there's a huge value in getting in doing the certification training for someone new coming to this, because it really does just reinforce and introduce all of the terminology, all of the words and the vocabulary that you need to interact with others on your team and others in the community. So that is always, you know, kind of my step one is get that basic training. That's something that you can get in the new FinOps introduction course. That's a free course to start with that gives you some of that background. And then I think the information that's on that subsite on the website really does give people who learn by reading and by, you know, sort of clicking through websites and things like that. If that's a mode that you can learn in effectively, that's a way to get a lot of that information that goes along with it. If you need to do the instructor led or kind of e-learning stuff, then those modes are available as well.
Yeah, because when you start, as you say, I remember when I start something new, you are overwhelmed. You just started. You have 5 domains, 22 capabilities. You're there. Yeah, cool. I need to do all the things. I have no clue. So is there one that you... Are there a couple of... So I know I have mine, so also... But yeah, what would be the first... the first thing... What is the first capability you need to implement, even at crawl level, So Crawley is the lowest maturity you can have that you think where you can build upon next.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for most organizations, and I think it depends on whether you're talking about the organization adopting FinOps or a person sort of coming up to speed. If you're a person coming into your organization, I think in most cases, you'll naturally understand what are the challenging areas for your organization, right? If you don't have visibility, obviously you've got to work on visibility almost as table stakes for doing any kind of FinOps practice. So those capabilities and understanding cloud usage and cost, if you're not ingesting data or you don't have access to see what you're spending, if you don't have the ability to do reporting and analytics, if you don't have any of your information tagged, or if you don't have a plan for how to divide up your costs and have a good allocation strategy, then those are kind of table stakes. That would be organizationally where you start. And if you are a new FinOps person coming into a place that's just starting to use cloud or just starting to use cloud at scale, I would say those are the things that you need to focus on most importantly. Everything in understanding cloud usage and cost is kind of a basic understanding level. Once you get to the quantified business value, then you're into activities like planning and forecasting and budgeting that probably become things that you will be working on for the next few years, right? As your organization yes. matures and incorporates cloud into more of its real business decisions. So those are, I think, secondary after you have an understanding of what you're doing. And then you kind of move into the optimization as you need to. But if you're a new person joining a team, you'll start to hear, this is where I think simplifying the language in the capabilities, you'll start to hear people talking about, well, we don't have rate optimization really dialed in, or our workloads need to be optimized, or, you know, we've got a lot of problems with our licensing. Licensing in SaaS is a new capability that was added, or we're really concerned about how do we incorporate sustainability in our engineering teams. And so cloud sustainability is another new capability where you might find some answers there. So as a new person coming in, I would hope that many people would be able to find the words that they're hearing in their own organization to say, you know, we don't know where we are. How do we assess ourselves? Well, FinOps assessment. How do we do chargeback? Well, invoicing and chargeback might have some answers. So that's I would take those cues and then dig into the areas where those are most, where those are applicable to your business. Because everybody's FinOps practice is unique, just like everyone else's.
Yeah, but I really like, and I'll stop talking, but I really like the starting with the visibility bit, because I think that builds trust between you and the data in some form or way, but also it allows you to build trust with all the other actors, because I really see FinOps as building all those bridges. It's a mess of bridges. It's a Venice, really. Yeah. but you have all those bridges between lots of personas. And in the end, visibility and transparency really accelerate trust, which I think is a vital bit.
I agree. I think what people are missing slightly from the new framework is assessment. I would actually start by running a maturity assessment on where you are as an organization, because so few people are doing that. And so it's something I've been working on a lot recently, and I've been staggered by some of the results. I've been doing one with an old friend of ours, Frank, I won't name them, but they're the only organization I've ever come across where in the FinOps Foundation framework maturity assessment, you have five lenses, and it goes knowledge, process, metrics, adoption, automation. They're the only organization I've ever come across where things are more automated than they are almost knowledge, because they're like a true DevOps principle company. So like, oh yeah, no, we've just automated that. We just put the curse straight into BigQuery and then run some reports. It's just kind of how we did it. Things like that. It's just like, that's just because you're that kind of organization. But for the most part, it's the other way around, and you can see where your gaps are. It was doing that process where I started building it based on a preview of the framework that we got as pros, that I came across a problem with the framework that was then fixed by the time it was launched. I didn't even feed it back because it was literally the day before I came across it. But that was that it was forecasting and estimating in the same one. And they are actually quite different disciplines and capabilities. And so I was speaking to you, kind of asking him a question, kind of going, so how do you estimate a workload? And then how do you build that into your forecast? And it's kind of two steps. And so when I saw this come out and change, I thought that's perfect, actually, because they were really good at doing the individual workloads and working out the estimation of that, but they weren't really doing much forecasting. So how did I score them? But now it's much better. So I think it's a great way of learning the framework as well, is doing an internal maturity assessment of where you are. So as an individual, you see where you need to focus. You get to learn the framework. And just by using that landing page, like you talked about, Rob, you can use that as a basis, because if you go into the capabilities page on that, you get a description of every capability at base level, which you then can start asking some questions around. If you go into the maturity assessment, you can see what the lenses are and kind of give yourself a named score. So I think that's a really nice place. That wasn't in the previous one at all, was it? So I think that's a really nice new piece.
No, assessment was added in, and I think assessments, there's a new one called FinOps Tools and Services.
Yep.
That is in there as well. There's also, you know, elements of the adoption of FinOps itself that were incorporated into the FinOps practice operations, which also incorporated a lot of things from the old established FinOps culture capability. And that was, you know, really a recognition, I think, that the FinOps practice is a team, right? In many organizations, it's an important team that's really bringing together a lot of functions, that's really bringing together silos, that has an ongoing role in creating reporting and creating value statements for the business and being involved in driving decision making. And so operating the FinOps practice is a discipline in itself and has a lot of aspects to it. And the use of tools and services, the use of an assessment regime in your organization, whichever one makes sense for you, is an important part of what we're doing to manage the FinOps practice. And so as is, you know, the other aspects of that intersecting disciplines and governance and policy and so forth. So that's a big and growing area. And we've talked a lot about that in the training, but it was never really highly called out in the framework. So now we're happy that stuff has a home, and we'll start to get other assets, associated with it. And a lot of this, a lot of the information that's on the website is backed up by FinOps assets, and those could be talks that people are giving. We've got recordings of people who've talked about a particular capability or a particular domain or a particular phase of work or persona at our events, and those are recorded and then linked to the appropriate places in the framework. There are documents that have been written by our working groups, papers and playbooks and stories that have been written by people involved in working groups. From the past few years, there have been stories and playbooks and papers written by FinOps professionals or by others who have just sort of submitted those to the foundation. So we love to incorporate those assets into this as well. This is what really makes the framework a living, breathing organism in itself, because we're constantly getting that feedback from people who are doing things in a different way. And if you're ever reading, for any of the listeners out there, if you're ever reading something and you go, well, that's not the way I do it, it's not the way I look at it, or I've got a different way I think that's better, definitely contribute that. We can, you can always click that make a comment button at the top of any of the framework pages, and you'll be able to submit that there. There are chat channels in Slack that are dedicated to almost all of the topics of the framework. So if you've got something about rate optimization, there's probably a chat channel out there for rate optimization. You can connect with other people who are interested in that and really just submit that stuff or become involved in one of the working groups or special interest groups that focuses on these particular areas.
One of the big changes for me is the personas stuff, which I think often gets overlooked, but that's a really big change. There's more allied personas, the actual naming convention of the personas changed. Can you talk a little bit about what's changed there?
Sure. Yeah. And I love that as well. I aside from all the new graphics, which I'm absolutely adore, the little t-shirts with the persona graphics on the front of them are super cool. We've the TAC worked on was kind of looking at personas who are involved in FinOps and codified that there are kind of these core personas, the FinOps practitioner themselves, the engineering group, which incorporates, sort of all of the engineering type organizations, architecture, SRE, operations, developers, and IT leadership in there. So that's engineering. Finance, which has always incorporated the corporate finance, IT finance, accounting and those other practices that are involved in invoice management and so forth. Leadership, which changed names from executives to leadership because there was a recognition by the TAC that this wasn't just an executive. It's not just the CEO and the CFO and the CTO who need to work together. It's all of the levels of leadership as well in big organizations. Procurement, which is a separate, part of things in many organizations, sometimes incorporated into finance, but definitely a different persona. And product, which used to be, I think, product and business. And the product teams really are the ones who we see as owning the applications, owning the things that the organization develops and sells and creates value with. So those core personas, engineering, FinOps practitioner, finance, leadership, procurement, and product are the core personas. We see them as sort of the critical mass of personas that need to work together to make cloud use valuable for an organization. And then there are a lot of other personas, which the TAC has named allied personas. ITFM, IT financial management, IT asset management and software asset management, IT service management or ITIL type things, security, IT security, and sustainability are key call outs there where they are allied personas. These are typically these are all typically groups that look not just at cloud in their organizations, but they look across all of the IT investments and sometimes even more broadly across the whole organization as in sustainability. So if I look at those other groups, they're probably people who are, if they exist in my organization, right? I don't always have an ITAM organization in my company, but if I do, those people are going to be critical allies in my ability to practice FinOps, and I'm going to probably have to be a critical ally to them to give them information about our cloud use of IT assets. And as we interface with those other disciplines, that's captured in the capability model in the intersecting disciplines capability. So all of those intersecting disciplines now have an allied persona defined. And over time, we may find that FinOps expands to intersect with more parts of the business, and we may be able to add other allied personas at that point.
That'd be cool. I have a couple of things coming from the background of the ignorance. So first, sorry. First of all, for our listeners, when you send a comment, like Rob was saying, you need to send a comment because you disagree with somebody, you found a typo, just make sure you start by "Rob told me so." Okay. That we all know.
That'll get it directly to me. Yes.
And then Rob, you tell us the stats. So Steve, you also were talking about the assessment as the most important thing to do or to review. Where is that on the website? Because I'm not sure I would know where to look for the assessment and the lenses on the FinOps website.
That is a good question.
And I see people moving there.
I'm going to look it up because I need to know for sure. So if you go to finops.org, where you can find everything, the top menu has about community certifications framework and projects. If you click on that projects, okay. The link at the end of the menu list, down on the left-hand side at the very bottom, is FinOps Assessment. So if you click on that FinOps Assessment, you will get a guide that has a link to a tool. This is probably a good place to say, as you can imagine, when you change almost all of the names of all the different things in a framework, that has a lot of impacts outside the actual framework itself. So while the framework has been updated and all of those changes have been approved by the TAC, that's going to have a continuing ripple effect through the rest of the content on the website. So you'll start to see the assets are getting re-tagged, if you will, with the new capability and domain names. The assessment currently sort of reflects the words and the names and the terminology from the last from the older framework, and so that is being updated as well. That will also have a ripple effect in terms of how our members identify themselves, and when our members say on their member page, we support the FinOps framework and the ability to do cloud rate optimization. Those words will need to be updated over time as well. And probably most importantly, the training will be updated. So we are working now over, and we'll probably be working through most of the rest of this year to update the certifications, the certification training, the persona-based training, and the FinOps professional certification course to reflect the new framework elements in it. Yeah. And that'll happen if you're currently taking one of those courses. You'll be, if you're halfway through and you'd say, I really don't want to learn all these new words. Good news. There's going to be a transition that'll be announced throughout that process. So you haven't been hoodwinked. You'll be able to take the test on the older stuff that you've already been reviewing. And of course, if you're waiting to take the test, anyone who signs up to any of the courses gets access to that material for a year. So anyone signing up now, even though they will see the older stuff for a while, they'll eventually see the newer stuff as well. You can choose to step up to that.
Yeah, the transition period is not going to be a 1 hour transition period, hopefully.
No, it will not be. It'll be announced well ahead of time and happily coordinated. Yeah, it's a big change. I mean, luckily, most of the stuff is pretty clear. It's pretty clear what all the things are. There was a pretty clear connection back for most of the capabilities to older ones where it was more complicated. Those situations are few.
We used to have someone which knows a lot about lots of framework, even other frameworks in the IT industry, which is packed. And he created internally where I work strategically, we were creating one new things to try to collate all of this together. And now we've seen this new one, he's analyzed it and say, I don't think we need our own framework anymore. They've caught up. It's good. We're good to go. So for me, that was a huge compliment because I really value that person. And he was like, yeah, good.
Yeah, agree.
Well done, guys. Well done.
Yeah, he was really impressed by it because the day we were chatting, the day it came out about some of the things, weren't we? And he was just next to you, and so I just said hello, and I said, oh, I'm just looking at the new framework, and they've just changed it.
They made it better.
I mentioned this is going to be an annual process to go through. I don't expect the annual changes will be this much, mm-hmm. right? This is one of the reasons that we want this to be a more regular cadence of updates is because we don't want to have these massive changes over time. We would like to be able to incorporate smaller adjustments as we go, because those are then able to be implemented in all the downstream systems as well.
I mean, it's an exceptionally busy time at the foundation, right? Because we just had the state of FinOps, which eats up a load of people's time and a load of data analysis there. This huge change to the definition framework, the capabilities. Now you've got to drive that through the training and all the other materials. And you've got X coming in. What's X in, like,
June?
Yeah, like 8 weeks?
76 days, 22 hours and 11 minutes.
I know exactly where he's looking at.
So 10 weeks and 6 days, basically. I mean, that's no time at all. How much busier does it feel now in the time you've been in the foundation? Is this like the busiest it's ever been?
Oh, I mean, I think, as I said before, the you know, we're operationalizing alongside many FinOps practices or many FinOps organizations, right? So we're in the same way that FinOps is becoming more mature and more structured and more involved in everything. We're seeing that same thing happening on the foundation side. I mean, I think our internal, it's busy, but it's also what we do, right? This is we put on these annual events. You know, FinOps X and FinOps XE are going to be in June and in November. Those are going to be our big flagship opportunities for the community to come together in those places and meet and interact and speak and learn. The other events that we do are events that we also want people to be able to enjoy if they're close by or if they're in the communities that are served by those events. The meetups that we do is just a matter of what we do. So we do, and the State of FinOps is a thing we do every fall. And all these things are just getting sort of more operationalized and incorporated into our everyday events.
So in human terms, you sleep roughly the same amount of hours today that you were sleeping 1 or 2 years ago.
I do. I sleep like a baby. And that's
a good metric.
Probably not a good test case for that. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, no one ever died in a FinOps emergency, right? So it's
that's what I always say to my team. No one ever died in a FinOps.
Which is a great place to be, right? We're not on pagers at 3 a.m. But we want to be able to keep up and continue to provide the community with opportunities to, you know, all the things we do, opportunities for community and to come together, opportunities to develop your skills and learn and train effectively, and this content that can serve you. So, I guess to answer your real question, it's been a really busy season, getting all this stuff out, and that's why we want to make it a more operational and regular cadence going forward, so that it's a manageable lift without being a real spike in actual work. And that's a nice thing to get to.
Just conscious of the time, and just going back to something you said before we started recording, actually now as well, in terms of events, one of the very rare occasions where all three of us are going to be in the room at the same time. Anyone that's in the UK, make sure you're coming to the members summit in like 2 weeks.
It's in the
18th of April at Codenode in London. And that's on our events page, finops.org/events, I think. Please come to that. That's going to be an all-day event in London. That'll probably be the biggest. That'll certainly be the biggest European event prior to XE. FinOps X is coming up in San Diego on the 19th to 22nd of June. So huge event there. Please feel free to come to that and register. x.finops.org is that one. And then FinOps XE, I expect will be open for registration relatively soon. That's going to be in early November in Barcelona. So lots of opportunities again for people to come together. All the FinOps staff will be at both X and XE. So I'll look forward to seeing both of you hopefully at both of those events.
Definitely San Diego. I'm still unsure about Barcelona. I'm pushing internally, promise.
Yeah. I'm definitely at both, as definitely as I can be when it's not booked in yet.
This is a big year for me personally. This has been a huge year because my 20th wedding anniversary is this year. My son is graduating from high school and going to college this year, wow. And my daughter is getting married in December. So, in addition to all the other things going on, we're having a full family.
The important stuff is busy, and then the work stuff, the other bits are also busy. Stuff, but
that's why next year's FinOps framework update will be relatively small. It'll be my daughter, but I don't blame that.
I'm really aiming for a very quiet personal year after last year. The biggest news of this year personally is probably that Seb went on a tractor ride on Sunday, which made his life. And that's the kind of news I'm looking for in this year, to be honest. The quietest year of my my recent history.
Like that for you as well. Yeah. We've got on the framework stuff, I think that we'll see. We did make changes to the domains and capabilities, to the definition, to the personas. We didn't make any changes in particular to the maturity, to the life cycle, I've just lost my thing, to the phases, or to the principles. And so I think that there'll be some work coming out over the next few months about phases and maturity that will be interesting to read through as well. And we'll kind of round that out hopefully in 2025.
Fantastic. Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us and being our first ever repeat guest. We look forward to having you on the next time there's a big update, so you can remain the most repeated ever guest.
I'm gonna fully embrace Goodhart's law and begin to use this as a metric for my own performance. Regardless of whether I can add value, I'll just try my best to come on as much as I can.
Let's ask JR to add that to his objectives.
I'll be happy to do that. No, on a serious note, I appreciate the work that you both do in putting together this podcast. It is not an easy thing, I know, to do any regular thing like this. This is something that I listen to keep up on things, because you find really interesting guests, you have really interesting insights into what's going on. And so I appreciate the fact that you all do this for the community, because I know it's not it is a labor of love in many cases, and not an easy thing to pull off. So kudos to you.
Yeah, we're recording the news on Friday, and I've just seen how much stuff's in there, because I do Microsoft. It's the biggest we've had this year, because it's been hard work, and that hasn't even got the. I don't know if anyone's seen the news about Intel today. Has anyone seen the report to the market? Well, I'll leave that for the.
I think on maybe. Don't know if it's the same, because they are
significant. I got it from my my investment app.
So that's the one. Yes.
Cool. Okay. Anyway. Well. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob. Frank, thanks for being here as ever and having red glasses again.
Yes!
Yeah. I can sleep at night. Seb stopped crying.
My kids recognize me coming out of school. Yeah.
And look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. Rob and Frank, I'll see you there and probably at the AWS Summit the week after.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Busy time. Busy times. And everyone, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye. Okay.